Reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 22. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Well, this morning we looked at the background to Paul's final words, that he was facing execution. We looked at his assurance that he was going to his reward, to be given a crown of righteousness. We considered the actions of Alexander the coppersmith, who appears to have been a witness at Paul's trials, possibly leading to his conviction after the second trial. We saw that, like us, Alexander would face judgment for what he had done in this life. We saw we're no different to Alexander the coppersmith in that sense, and that we all need to repent of our sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Well, this evening I'd like us to turn our focus to verse 9, where Paul urges Timothy to do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, to use Paul's words. The reason for his call to Timothy to come is that Paul was alone with only Luke, described by Paul in Colossians 4 verse 14 as the beloved physician. Luke had remained faithful to Paul, unlike Demas, who had once been Paul and Luke's companion. We see Demas also mentioned in Colossians 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Demas is only mentioned in one other place, which is Philemon 1, verse 24. Paul wrote that letter from Rome, and ends it by asking Philemon to greet Epaphras, Paul's fellow prisoner in Christ, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas, Paul's fellow labourers. So we see that Demas was a fellow worker with Paul. Yet there came a time when Demas deserted Paul. We read, having loved this present world. What a warning Demas is to us. What a tragedy that someone who had spent time working with Paul, that great apostle, described by Paul as a fellow labourer at one point, should have deserted him to return to the world. This verse demonstrates to us that as believers, we cannot both love this present world and Christ. The Greek word used for world in this verse is this age. So he loved this present age. Note how different that was to Paul, who we saw this morning was looking forward to obtaining the crown of righteousness, which was to be given to him, and all those who loved the Lord Jesus' appearing. To love the Lord Jesus' appearing is to have died to the things of this world. Well, there's some debate over whether Demas was ever a true believer, depending on what view you take of eternal security. Certainly the parable of the sower describes such a person as seed which fell among thorns in Luke 8:14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. It's interesting that word, no fruit to perfection. Some fruit, perhaps, but not to perfection, because they don't go on until the end. They don't persevere in their faith. I was speaking to one of our sisters yesterday who was concerned about her plot in their allotment. Every time they went down to tend it, they found that when they returned again the following week, it had all become overgrown again, and particularly so at this time of year. If you are a gardener, you have to spend your time constantly uprooting weeds. I'm grateful that we don't have a garden, and almost all our plants that we do have died, sadly, in the cold weather. It's the same in the Christian life, isn't it? In Luke 9:23, the Lord Jesus warned us about the cost of following the Lord Jesus. He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The Christian life requires us daily to take up our cross. There's no such thing as a day off in the Christian life, is there? I said before that there's no time for me time in the Christian life. We don't take time off to be in the flesh, do we? We're constantly having to put the flesh to death. Demas must have received the very best teaching from Paul. After all, Paul taught literally as one who had the very oracles of God, because he taught, because he wrote scripture. He was taught by the Lord Jesus himself, we read in Galatians. As a fellow worker, Demas presumably would have preached to others. Yet all the time, Demas harboured a love for this present age. I suppose we all have to watch our hearts. Can any one of us say that there's nothing in this world that we desire? Every day we need to remember whose we are and whom we are serving. For Demas, that love for the world eventually overcame him. And he travelled to Thessalonica to pursue his love of this world. Perhaps he returned to his business that he might have given up. No doubt he visited the sort of places he used to go before he became a believer. I doubt he attended any of the churches that Paul planted in Thessalonica. We need to watch for our own souls, don't we? We need to remember that the Christian life is a daily race. We're told by the Lord Jesus to take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Every day we need to win for the Lord Jesus. And if we do that, we'll be able to look back on a fight well fought, a race completed, work perfected. We don't do that if we think, well, I'm going to give myself to what I want to do today, and then tomorrow I'll serve the Lord. In that situation, the fear is that tomorrow will never come. There are those who say, well, I'll come to the Sunday services when I've finished this course, when I have reached this standard. My experience is that such a person then finds another reason not to come to church. We need to win that battle today over our souls. We need to put the Lord first today. When I've done that in my life, I found the most wonderful benefits from it. And I commend that course to each one of us. Let's make sure that we live every day for the Lord, keeping our eye on his soon return. Loving his return really means turning our backs on the things of this world every day. We will never be finished with the temptation to return to this world until that great day comes when the Lord takes us. I think that is just something that we need to think about, isn't it? That do we really love his return? Do we say, can we say with John, the end of Revelation, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus? That really places life in its proper perspective, doesn't it? So, returning to our passage, Paul needed Timothy. Worth considering why he needed Timothy. Timothy, by contrast to Demas, was somebody who cared for the things of the Lord Jesus. We read that in Philippians 2, where Paul writes in verses 19 to 22, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Demas, tragically, was in the end out for himself. Many people were in that category. Paul says he could only find Timothy to send to the Philippians. Well, Timothy sought the things which are which were from the Lord Jesus. He sought the Lord Jesus, who said to the Pharisees, "I am not of this world," in John 8, verse 23. Timothy served Paul as a son serving his father. And this is how we should all be. Serving the gospel, serving ministers of the gospel in that capacity. We will all be tempted in some way or other to return to the world. Might be some enticing holiday opportunity or a job offer. Might be an inheritance. Could be many things that take us away from following the Lord Jesus. Peter uses some colourful language in 2 Peter 2 to warn believers about following in people like Demas's footsteps. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. He speaks in that chapter of such people being as dogs returning to their vomit. Demas is a warning for those who set out to follow the Lord Jesus but turn back. One of the shortest verses in the Bible is, remember Lot's wife. said by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. A warning from the Lord himself. Lot's wife turned back after she'd been rescued from Sodom by the two angels. It could not have been simply a look back to see what had happened to Sodom. Abraham did this, and nothing happened to him. You can see that in Genesis 19, verse 28. Lot's wife's look back must have been a look back in longing. Despite the gross immorality of Sodom that brought God's terrible judgment, she nevertheless seemed to have yearned after the lifestyle she enjoyed there. Well, Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50 tell us more about the life in Sodom. It wasn't just sexual immorality. This is what Ezekiel describes. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. So we see that Sodom was a place of great abundance and idleness, not too dissimilar from our society. Perhaps this was the attraction of this delectable city to Lot's wife. So many people try to build heaven on earth, but it's not for the Christian, is it? People build their houses, their estates, their great wealth. We just need to read the papers, don't we? And it is mind-boggling that people would do this in the midst of a world gone mad, where we have atrocities virtually on a daily basis, people running over groups of others for the sake of their religion, Islam. We get aeroplanes falling out of the sky. You name it, we've got it. Yet people continue to try and make this world their heaven. It's so strange, isn't it? But it's not for the Christian. We have plenty of time for rest and enjoyment when we come to the end of our earthly pilgrimage. In the meantime, we are to work while it is still day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Paul needed Timothy to do thy diligence to come quickly. There are some calls as Christians that we must obey at once. Paul knew that his time was running out and he needed to give his final instructions to Timothy. We're not told how Timothy responded to this final summons, but knowing what we do about Timothy, we can assume that he dropped everything and came as soon as he received Paul's letter. And as Christians, it's important that we have right priorities. The call of Christ is a call that we must heed as soon as we hear it. How many people have put off that day only to find that they never hear the call again? I mentioned the reason this morning, the reason that Paul was in Rome in the first place was that he'd appealed to Festus when he was in Jerusalem in Acts 25. And Festus has said, "You've appealed to Rome, to Rome you shall go. You've appealed to Caesar, rather, to Caesar thou shalt go." Well, in Acts 24, Paul testified to Felix in Caesarea. And we read this in verses 24 and 25. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' Tragically, we read in the next verse that Felix's real motivation was that he hoped Paul would offer him money so that Felix would then release him. Had Felix heeded the call of the gospel when it was offered to him and he was convicted, his legs trembled. How many people's legs tremble when they hear the gospel? But no, he didn't heed it, and he missed his opportunity of salvation. History does not reveal whether he was ever offered another. Today is the day of salvation. Let us not delay. Well, I mentioned that there are certain Christian duties we should attend to as soon as we are called to. And this applies particularly when visiting people who are close to death, as Paul was. Many people have missed their opportunities to see a dying friend or relative because they left it too late. Let us be careful not to fall into that same trap ourselves, and particularly when it is a man of God. For Timothy, no doubt, it was vital for him to hear those final words of exhortation, final instructions that Paul felt he could only give Timothy when he arrived. Friends, we must take the opportunity that God is offering us now to hear God's word while we can, to fill ourselves with his truth, and not to think, well, I can put it off for another day. There'll always be another time when I can hear these things. No, friends, there's an urgency about the Christian life, isn't there, that we should take heed to. And Paul knew the danger of leaving things too late. Note in verse 21, Paul repeats his call to Timothy to come quickly. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Timothy was at Ephesus at the time. It would take him a long time to get to Rome. It's over 500 miles. And there was only a certain window of opportunity for Timothy to travel. It needed to be before winter. Paul knew all about leaving that trip too late. In Acts 27, they'd left the trip too late. They were seduced by the weather and the desire to get a more commodious haven to go when it was too late. The right wind started to blow and then it changed. And they were caught in the most dreadful storm, and only by the grace of God, only because Paul was in that ship. And an angel was sent to assure Paul that the ship would be safe and all that were in it, were they shipwrecked in Malta. Paul knew that if Timothy left it too late to come to Rome, he would never make it. And there's a spiritual application to this, isn't there? Some people think that they have all the time in the world to follow Christ. But like Felix, they put it off for another day. There are seasons in life for us all. If we put off serving the Lord Jesus until it's more convenient, we may find we've run out of time. Life itself can be divided into spring, summer, autumn, and winter, can't it? Spring for our childhood years, summer for our youth and young adulthood, autumn for middle age, and winter for old age. We mustn't leave off serving the Lord Jesus until we get to winter. Many do that. They wait till they're retired. And then it might be too late. Instead, we should heed the words from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The days of our youth are the days when we have the most energy, the most time. Our memories are most alive. We can remember the scriptures. We can fill ourselves with truth. We can develop godly habits. They're much harder to develop when we're older. When we're young, we might want to travel the world and do all kinds of adventurous activities. But to heed the call of Christ when we're young, to follow him, is to use the best years of our lives for him. To build up that solid foundation for the future, to store up in heaven those good treasures that will never desert us. So, returning to verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Let's not delay hearing the call of the Lord Jesus. I'm sure none of us in this room have done that. But then being quick to hear the voice of the Spirit, to do the things that God has laid before us to do for him. So let us run with patience the race set out for us. Amen.